Bill Smaldone, welcome again to KBOO.
Hi, Bill. Great to be back.
Bill Smaldone teaches history at Willamette University, his specialty, Germany in the 20th century, and in particular, the struggle for socialism in Germany. Last week, we discussed the history of the left in Germany. The Social Democratic Party started in 1863 when Germany was industrializing, beginning with a quite radical program, seeing labor as the source of all production and wealth, seeing also, in the words of the American Wobblies, the boss's brains, they're under the workers' hats. And thus deserving to run the economy and state, and to do it democratically in one great cooperative, no chattel slavery, no wage slavery, democratic not just in elections, but throughout social life. But over the years, the radicals and reformers in the Social Democratic Party came into serious conflict. The reformers, aided by Germany's elites, defeated the radicals, indeed killed their leaders, but at the same time became a permanent party in Germany's political struggle. Indeed, after World War I and II destituted Germany, the Social Democrats were crucial in German recovery, ultimately forming an industrialized welfare state that came to dominate the European economy. But through the post-war years, the SPD, the Social Democratic Party, they abandoned any sense of socialism or worker liberation and steadily lost power and support. Their vote declined from 40% in 2004 to 15% in 2015, and political experts left them for dead. Well, then came a big surprise. The Social Democratic Party finished first in last year's election, and we'll be discussing how that happened, in particular to what extent it was a product of the crises capitalism has made for us, but crises that our elites refuse to respond to. Right now, Germany, a little less than other nations, are immersed in several deep crises. Why is that? It's because Germany's economic elites, like those around the world, are still plundering and devastating the ecosystems in which human life depends. So, Bill Smaldone, once again in Germany, the SPD is leading a coalition facing a deep set of crises. My chief question is whether the Social Democrats might rise to the occasion to take meaningful steps to deal with the climate crisis. But before then, Bill, why do you think Olaf Scholz and the Social Democrats won the September 21 election?
Well, I think, Bill, that there were a combination of factors. One factor that is rather banal is the fact that the Christian Democrats had been leading the government since 2004 under Angela Merkel's leadership, and people had sort of gotten tired of the Christian Democrats. The other factor from thinking about the right was that the Christian Democrats were bleeding support to the far right. In 2004, when they first came to power, there was no Alternative for Germany. But now the Alternative for Germany party, which is a far right party, an anti-immigration party, is firmly rooted in the parliament. And the CDU-CSU coalition, these Christian Democratic parties, were bleeding support to the right. That hurt them in the elections. And that was in part due to Angela Merkel's opening of the country to large-scale immigration a few years back. The other reasons were that the leader of the Social Democrats, Olaf Scholz, has been in government with Angela Merkel for a long time. For the last 4 years, they were the junior partner in a grand coalition with the Christian Democrats, and Scholz himself was the finance minister. And he has a long track record in German politics, and he was regarded by many voters as a stable force who would in some ways continue Angela Merkel's policy, and that is really a policy of stability, someone who's not particularly radical. One other very important reason that the Social Democrats were carried to power is that their coalition allies, the Greens, did extremely well. And the Greens were willing to form a coalition with the SPD. And that's, of course, key, right? They have to be willing to work together. So the Reds and the Greens were able to put together a pretty good coalition program. Now, where it starts to get complicated is that to get enough votes in the parliament to have a majority, they had to bring one more party in. And the party that they brought in was the Free Democratic Party, which is a classical liberal party. And that party is pretty strong on individual civil rights, but it's also a free market party. And it has often been the swing party in German politics between social democratic governments and Christian democratic governments. Back in the 1970s, there had been a kind of leftward swing in the party, and they were willing to join up with the Social Democrats and govern in a regime that brought about a fairly large expansion of the welfare state. Then in the 1980s, they swung in a neo-Keynesian direction and abandoned the Social Democrats and went over to the right and allied themselves with the Christian Democrats. And now, in 2022, in the context of rising authoritarian movements on the right, very severe immigration problems, and of course the climate crisis, everyone in Germany on the left and in the middle, so to speak, is quite aware that these problems have to be grappled with. And so I think the three parties that form the coalition, the SPD, the Greens, and the FDP, were willing to make enough concessions in putting together their government program to work together. And that is very important because the government has to put together a coherent set of policies that it can push through the parliament. But the other thing I want to say is that normally in German politics, the big issues are issues like equality, the issue of whether or not the welfare state should expand. People fight about technology investments and infrastructure investments. There's always a labor component to every election. There are also sometimes people who elevate things like law and order. So those are kind of standard issues that dominate German elections traditionally. This year, however, there were some new issues or issues that have been around for a while, but now clearly broke through to the top. And the key one there was that of climate change. And this was really driven to the fore last summer when there was a catastrophic event in the Rhine Valley during the summer when whole towns and villages were swept away in a flooding, in an instance of massive flooding that took everybody by surprise. It was historically unprecedented. It resulted in many deaths and incredible infrastructure damage. Many people were driven out of their houses. Whole villages and towns were basically wiped out. And this convinced almost everyone on the political spectrum, including the Christian Democrats, that somebody has to do something about the environment. So this was, of course, a great issue for the Greens, right? And they pushed it in the election. And in addition to that, many people are very interested in pursuing issues like digitalization, the modernization of Germany's communications infrastructure. So those two new issues also played a really important role in this election.
My sense is in reading that the housing issue, especially in Berlin, was quite important.
Yes, and the government has called for the construction of something like 400,000 new units per year, I think, a quarter of which will be publicly supported. And so these are traditional, you know, sort of social democratic bread and butter issues. One of the things that Scholz is probably going to do, and he did this to some degree in his campaign rhetoric, is go back to the traditional assertions that social democracy is the party of social justice, right? And this position had been abandoned or watered down is a better way of putting it, by social democratic leaders like Gerhard Schröder, who in 2004 put through a policy called Agenda 2010, which was one of these third-way models. Bill Clinton and Blair pursued very similar models when they were in power in the 90s and early 2000s, which cut the rug out, really, from underneath the feet of working-class people, made it much more difficult to be unemployed, but put a lot more controls over welfare state spending, basically abandoned their working-class constituency in an effort to reach out to middle-class people. And the Social Democrats have paid an enormous price for that as their constituency melted away. Now we've seen a kind of return to those old bread and butter issues, right? And you see it, for example, in the housing policy that I just mentioned. You see it also in the government's assertion that it is going to invest vast sums in public health and is going to also reform the entire welfare state system so that there's a kind of basic income available for everyone. So these are huge changes in direction for the Social Democrats since the Schröder era.
This is KBU Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour, here talking to Bill Smaldone. We've been discussing the Social Democratic Party, the surprise victory they won. No one expected it. They formed the coalition government. My sense is that Olaf Scholz starts, as did Joe Biden, facing multiple crises, and then the economic crisis of all Europe, less in Germany, but Germany is key to the European Union that they support. And it's very important for Germany to stabilize the economies of some of the countries that are still in deep trouble. My sense is, and I think we have to speculate about it, that Scholz might pull a Biden on economic and environmental policies and operate like Biden, both professional politicians with very conservative records on almost all things. And particularly, Scholz was very conservative about going into debt and allowing the countries of the South in Europe to run bigger debts to stimulate their economy. He was always seen as, like Biden, being a nice guy, concerned with their welfare, but conservative policies. Biden, though, of course, he went left in his campaign and even more left when he became president. His campaign featured raising the minimum wage, reducing student debt, taxing the rich, a child care tax credit that would put a very large amount of money into the families who are struggling today. Also, he announced and pushed for Build Back Better, a huge program, trillions of dollars on infrastructure and climate change, roads, bridges, but also auto emission standards, closing coal plants, on and on. Millions of jobs for workers displaced and many others of the unemployed. Now it looks like it won't win much. Bill, let's speculate. Might the German Social Democrats also, it looks as if they may be staking their future on creating necessary social programs and also doing an economic reconstruction to stop climate change.
Right. So, first of all, we have to remember that, in a way, Scholz has already made that turn that you describe. If you read the coalition program, if you read what the SPD arguing about it, you will see that their starting point is already far superior in the welfare state to that of the United States. So we're talking about a system that already was spending very large sums, for example, on children. You know, everyone in Germany for decades, all families have received a per-child allowance from the state, okay, to help them raise their children. And now they're basically going to increase those programs, you know, very substantially, and they're going to provide what they're calling a basic security blanket for all children, right, to keep all children out of poverty. And this is going to consist of large-scale investments in family policy. Another thing that they're doing, in the American context, is at the moment unthinkable, even for Biden, is they're going to pile very large sums into care for the aged, which is already a part of the German health insurance system. But this system now is going to be beefed up because the population is aging and this has become a priority for the state. And they realize that they need to have better workers, better paid workers, raise their skill levels. All of that's going to require lots of investment. And the German state is claiming this now as a priority. In other words, their point of departure is already stronger than that of the United States, and they're going to now elevate the system very substantially.
You know, one thing you didn't mention, they have universal coverage, insurance coverage of every person in every German, is it, Bill, every German resident?
The medical system in Germany is very complicated, but the bottom line is that by law, all people who receive wages and salaries have to be in the German public system, right? Or in the German medical system. Everybody has to have insurance. There are different ways to get it, public and private, but it's a mandatory system into which everyone must enroll, unless you are an independent entrepreneur or a government official. The government officials have a different system for themselves. It's very good. And people who are independently wealthy basically buy their insurance on the private markets. But over 90% of the population, by law, must be in the basic system. I wanted to get back, though, to the government's program. And that is one thing I haven't mentioned, is that they are going to now ramp up with major investments in environmental protection. And we're talking here not only in the energy sector, but also in the conservation area. So their intent is to move out of coal as soon as possible, I think by 2030 or 2035. This is a commitment by the government. They want to move toward more wind and water power, and they're also talking about investments in hydrogen. There have been some controversial discussions in the last few weeks about the role of atomic energy in the European framework, and that could be an item of contention. Also, natural gas is an item of contention. The natural gas question, by the way, is also connected to foreign policy because the Germans wish to acquire gas from Russia via an enormous pipeline that is being constructed. And the Germans must have access to gas, either from the Russians or from somebody else, because they have no fossil fuel production at home. So there are some real commitments to major changes. One of the reasons why I'm quite confident that some of these are going to be realized is because the Green Party will not survive if they don't make good on the promises they've made to their constituency. The Green Party has grown very substantially in the last 10 to 15 years. It is a major player. It competes head-to-head with the Social Democrats. Its reputation rests on its ability to carry out environmentally friendly policies. It has made big promises in this campaign, and it cannot afford not to succeed. The difficulty with all of this, and this is going to be where we see whether or not Scholz can truly lead this coalition, is that the Free Democrats, while they're willing to participate in the coalition, they are, at heart, a neoliberal party. That is, a free trader party. They want small government. They recognize that there is a crisis in the environment, and they are willing to make some concessions. But they are not surrendering their core ideological standpoint, which is that the market is always better than the state. And they have the finance ministry. Christian Lindner, who is the leader of the FDP, is the finance minister. And I am certain that there will be heated moments in the cabinet when they are trying to figure out where they're going to get the money to pay for these programs. The other thing that has to be remembered here is that the German government of the 1990s created the European Union political and economic system. And the basis of that was a neoliberal economic framework. And the Germans have dominated financial policy inside the EU for three decades. That has always been a tight money policy with strict controls over individual states' ability to run deficits. Now, they loosened those controls, first in the wake of the 2008 crisis, but then especially in the wake of COVID-19. Scholz has promised that big loans will be taken out, that they will pursue deficit spending to meet the needs of the country in the COVID crisis and in carrying out these policies. He has also said that they will be successful at reining in the costs of the debt as they were after 2008. So in other words, he's on the one hand saying we're going to borrow big, but don't worry, we'll manage it and we'll pay it down. Okay, because every German wants to know whether or not the government can actually pay it down, because Germany has had two experiences in the 20th century with hyperinflation in which the currency was essentially made worthless. And many Germans are convinced, whether rightly or wrongly, that the only way to prevent that from happening is to avoid large-scale debt. So the coalition consists of an interesting arrangement of bedfellows, and the FDP is the most conservative element in that coalition and will certainly be a break on the government's ability to spend, as will Scholz's own reputation. Now, I want to say something about Scholz's reputation because you brought it up in your introduction. You described him as a conservative, and it is true that in the Social Democratic Party over the last few decades, he had been a part of the conservative right wing. But it's also true that he began his career as the deputy leader of the Young Socialist Organization and was on the far left of the party at that time. And so, you know, it's a little too early to tell, but Scholz's biographers are always going to wonder if he moves left while in power, if really in his deepest inner self, right, if he really wasn't a kind of closet leftist. We'll see, right? Because certainly I agree with you that he's going to have to adopt policies that are much further to the left than he would have just a few years ago in his role as a finance minister.
No, you were really informative on the possibilities of Germany, who have actually done a great deal. There are some days in Germany that wind and sun power is so great that they're selling electricity to France because they have no use for it in Germany. They are creeping up on a very high level of renewable energy. And Scholz, in fact, talked about he's promised to create far, far more onshore wind turbines and solar panels, which creates a turning point Bill, we should talk about Germany and energy, the great crisis the world faces. It's very important to see an alternative. In fact, Scholz made a speech where he made that point. We have to show an alternative. I think it looks very promising if the combination of the Greens and the SPD, the Social Democrats, reaches the 50% mark where they, in fact, can control the legislative process. It seems to me that Germany could be an example of how the industrialized nations have to operate. Bill Smaldone, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Pleasure, Bill.